Praise God. What you get out of life, out of the Word of God, spiritually, is what you, how you prepare, as David's been saying. You know, the farmer, the gardener, prepares the soil. And in his preparing, I mean, Mick's got allotment, that's the word I was looking for, aren't you? And you input things into the soil and prepare the ground. Why do you do it? Because his anticipation is by doing that, he will get a better crop, a better yield to what he's put into it, right? And that's what we, you know, spiritually, as we let the Word of God begin to work into our lives. But we've got to let the Word work. We've got to get into the Word. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And this is King David. David spoke the words of this song. He wrote a song. That's not unusual, is it, for David? He spoke the words of a song, of this song to the Lord. In the day that the Lord delivered me from the hand of all my enemies and from the hand of Saul. Hallelujah. You know, when we get into the Word, when we let the Word start working on us, and how often do you eat? Tell me. How often do you eat? You don't know. How many times a day do you eat? 3 or 4? Yeah. How many times do we read the Word of God? How many times do we read the Word of God? How many times do we pick our Bible up and just maybe read 2 or 3 verses? You know, have a snack. Have a snack. I'm not saying read 3 or 4 chapters. I'm saying have a snack. I love snacking. You know, I think, you know, I could go through life as a snacker. You know? But at the same time, we can snack on the Word of God. You know, I mean, some of you young ones think, oh, I've got to read all that. No, no. But start somewhere. Start somewhere, because if you don't start somewhere, you'll end up nowhere. Well, I do know where you'll end up. You'll end up in hell. And that is nowhere of a place to end up. That is just, it's no destination worth talking about. And then we move on and verse of chapter, second book of Samuel, chapter 22. And verse 29. For thou art a lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illuminates my darkness. You know, when it seems like there's darkness surrounding you, take the Word of God. Let it be a light. Let it be the lamp that illuminates and drives away the darkness. David goes on to say in verse 30, for by thee I can run through a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. In other words, there's nothing going to stand in his way. When God's anointing, when God's presence is upon him, he's saying, I can run through a troop. I can run through an army of men and not be hurt. I can leap over a wall and it will not be in my way. It'll just be like it wasn't there, in other words. You know? And this is it. Our focus has to be on the Word of God, not on necessarily the things that are around us. They are not, in truth, a reality. You see this building? It's not real. It is. It's not real. And I know you'll go up and you say, look, it's solid. It's real. No, it's not. Maybe in 100 years' time, this building will have disappeared. But I'll tell you what won't disappear. The Word of God. That's what's real. I'll tell you what won't disappear. And that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's real. Jesus just walked through the wall in his resurrected body. The disciples had thought they'd really locked the doors. They'd really bolted everything up. And then Jesus just walks in. Hi guys. I could do with a snack. I could do with a snack. They're frightened to death. They can't understand how he got in there in the first place. And understand even how he is actually alive. And then even understand how that if he was just a spirit, that he wants something to eat. None of these things made sense. See, God does not work with your mind. You can have as many degrees as you want. Men with great degrees look at the Word of God, and when they've read it, they say, there is no God. And then there's those that know very little, read it, and the Spirit of God comes down and reveals Jesus and the love of God, and they say, God has found me. And I have felt him and seen him and know him. Hallelujah. This is what it is about with this Word of God. This Word of God is, it's supernatural. If there is something about this that to the normal, ordinary man and woman, it just goes over the top of their heads. But to those that love the Lord, to those whose hearts are truly seeking God, it begins to be a revelation. A revelation of the love of God, of the heart of God, of the compassion of God for his people. Verse 31 says, As God, his ways is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. Hey, when it gets tough, when it gets difficult, when it seems like everything's going against you, take the shield of faith, the word of God, and use it to quench the fiery darts, to quench every lie, every false word that comes from the pit. You know, the devil will try and get you to do things. You see, he's a manipulator of people. He's a manipulator of humanity. In the Garden of Eden, he manipulated Adam and Eve. And he's continued to do it for the next 6,000 years. And people are still being manipulated by the devil. And when, you know, when we as the Church of Jesus Christ, when we as disciples of the Lord Jesus get hold of this word, it'll stop those fiery darts of manipulation. It will quench those fiery darts. It will cause the enemy to be pushed back and to be pushed away because the Lord is our refuge. He's the place where we can go and hide and the devil can't nail us. And the problem is, we forget to go and hide. We think, I can do it. I've got to do it. And we forget to hide in His presence. We forget to come under the covering of the wings of the Almighty God. These are not just words that roll off. These are meaningful. These mean something. That there is a precious covering, there is a precious anointing, there is a divine protection. But so often we think, we've got to do this. I've got to do this. I'm just too much to blame. Instead of recognizing, oh, just a minute, that thought, that idea, I need to run to Jesus. I need to run under the covering. I need to spend time in His presence just to deal with that. Because the enemy knows every one of us. He knows our weak points. He's not going to attack you on the where you're the strongest. In war, a good general looks for the weak points and says, that's where we'll go. That's where we're going to put our major forces. And so when the enemy comes in against us, I love that scripture. So often it's been preached so wrong. When the enemy comes in, and they go on to say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. No, it's wrong. It's when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. Now, how can that be? Well, the Bible tells us there are more for us than there are against us. So, hey, how can the enemy be outnumbering us? It is impracticable in every way. So we just have to stand there and say, are you ready, devil? Because you don't know what's coming. And in the name of Jesus, we release the presence and the power of God, of the Holy Spirit. And that word begins to work. And that word changes circumstances, changes situations, destroys the lies of the devil. You might think he's got you in a corner. But you wait when you hear the voice of God saying duck and God slaps the devil. Oh, I've had that experience. Felt backed into a corner. Felt that things were going so wrong. And I'm wrestling and appear to be fighting and resisting the devil and getting absolutely nowhere. And suddenly I heard a voice behind me saying, duck. No, that was it, Neil, not duck. Yeah, Neil. And that weren't my name, Neil, by the way. It was Neil. And I saw myself drop to my knees. And as I dropped to my knees, I saw this enormous hand come sweeping across where I'd been stood. And it slapped the devil. And this demon went rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I said to God, God, why didn't you do that earlier? He said, you were in the way. Oh, you know, the Bible doesn't say fight the devil. It says resist it. Just resist. And submit to God. Oh, now I know some of you are saying, well, where does spiritual warfare come in this? Well, that's something different. But you know, on our own, we let God fight our battles. We let the Holy Spirit work within us. For greater is He that is within you than him that is in the world. And we have to stand on these promises. We have to stand on this and believe this. There might be rumors of wars and wars going on and turmoil and famine and earthquakes, etc. But guess what? God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. God still has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for the church. And the church has to rise up and take its rightful place and position and be the bride of Christ. On a ragtag and bob outfit, you know, dressed in... Has anybody ever seen a scruffy bride? Huh? Not happening, is it? You know, I mean, the bridegroom could be as scruffy as anything, you know. Nobody takes a blind bit of notice of him, you know. But as soon as that music starts, and everybody goes, wow. True, isn't it? True. See, Jesus is looking for that bride. That, yes. Look, if we can do that on earth, then what can God do with a heavenly church? God has higher standards. God has greater abilities than you and me. God's not tied by his credit card or by his bank balance. Thank God for that. He made everything out of nothing. Glory to God. What verse are we on? 31. Ask for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is our shield. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. That's the shield that we have. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is a rock beside God? Hallelujah. He's our rock. We're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. We're standing on the promises of God through Christ Jesus. These promises are ours, yea and amen. And we need to begin to realize the promises that we have. We need to realize that the things that God has for us, which we've not yet claimed, which we've not yet taken hold of, which have not yet apprehended us, that we might move forward in victory. That everything will be there for us. There are some things we think, oh, I'd like that now. Just to be sure I've got it, you know. But you don't need it at this point in time. But God will make it available as and when you need it. Glory to God. You don't have excess baggage. Verse 33. God is my fortress. Oh, you know, when I read that, I just see this great big strong tower. And I'm inside. God's that great towering fortress. And I'm inside. He's my fortress. He's my defender. He's my protector. He's my deliverer. He's the one who came to set me free. God is my strong fortress. Not just a weakly built fortress, but a strong fortress. A fortress with great foundations, deep foundations, so the walls will not fall over easily. Strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. Hallelujah. In Christ we're blameless. And as we lock ourselves into Christ, as we focus on him, he sets us in right places. Verse 34, he makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on high places. Have you ever seen those ibis that climb up the rock face? You know, the rock face is like this. You and me need ropes and steel pins and everything to try and get up there, and they've got four legs. And they just walk up there and jump and leap onto the next part, and your mouth is like, did you see that? Wow, it is. How do they do it? Well, guess what? They didn't evolve into that. Because, let's be honest, by the time evolution had have happened, they would all have died falling off the cliff. You know, there's just two of us left. Shall we carry on going up? No, forget it. I'm going back down. You know, I'll be a donkey instead. No, they didn't evolve. God gave them and made them with that ability to climb in those high places, to stand in those rocky places where nothing can attack them, where nothing can hurt them, where nothing can wound them. And they stand there and leap, and you think, if you were stood on one of them ledges, you'd be saying, is somebody going to come and get me down? I daren't move. I'm terrified, you know. Even with all the ropes, and I'd be saying, have we got an helicopter? Can somebody come and get me? And they just look at you and just leap from place to place, and it's like, wow. So spiritually, God has given you hind feet. You can go into the high places. We can go into the presence of Almighty God. That's where God wants you. The word is come up higher. God wants you to climb. Rise up into those heavenly places. Even this last Tuesday in Bible school, we were encouraging you to rise up. Oh, but I can't do it, Andrew. I didn't ask you if you could do it. I know you can't do it. But what I'm saying to you was, let God do it. And you rise up on those thermals of the Spirit in God, and you begin to hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep respond to me. And as we listen to the Holy Spirit, He takes us higher and higher and higher to bring us to a place of victory. Lord, you know, I remember Caleb. He's 80-something. He's just gone into the promised land finally. And he says to Joshua, he said, when I came in here 40 years ago and came back and brought my report, I was promised the high places. He said, so nothing's changed. I can imagine some folks saying, what's he on about? Nothing's changed. He's another 40 years older. He's an old man. But he said, my youth has not weakened. I am still as strong. And the promise of what God had given to me, those high places, I am going to take them because they are mine. And we, you know, we've got to be the same. We've got to say what God has promised me. It's going to be mine. The devil has stolen from you for too long. He's robbed you. He's robbed you of time. He's robbed you of years. He's robbed you of things. Now it's time to call them back. Now it's time to declare the word of the Lord against the enemy and believe it and stand on the promises, knowing that God is well able and that God is your strong tower. God is the one who is setting you in high places. God is the one who is appointing you to places and positions to do the work of the kingdom of God. Goes on to say in verse 35, He, God, trains my hands for battle, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. And thou hast given to me the shield of thy salvation, and thy help makes me great. Hallelujah. God is making you strong. When you read the Word of God, you become stronger. When you spend time in the Word of God, you become stronger. You become well able to handle circumstances and situations that are coming against you, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And so we are being filled with a greatness. We are being filled with a boldness. We are being equipped to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and to begin to destroy the work of the enemy. And salvation is what God has given to us. Hallelujah. But you know, that salvation needs to work. That salvation needs to be active. That salvation needs to be moving. It's not, I've got my ticket from God, I'm all right now. I can go and sit down and wait for the train to come and I'll be fine, you know. I'm just waiting, I've got my ticket. When's the train coming, you know? And then we wonder why all hell breaks loose around us, and we say, well, I've got a ticket. The real ticket is the Word of God. The real ticket is the relationship with God. That's what it is. You get saved, and then you come into training to become a disciplined follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. It's like when a baby's born. It doesn't suddenly get up when it's just been born and say, thanks ever so much, mother, I'm going. Some mothers would wish their child had done that. They'd be saying, thank God for that, he's gone, or she's gone. But it doesn't happen that way. And neither does it happen when we surrender our life to Christ and we become born again. That's just the beginning. Now you have to start feeding them on milk of the Word. And then mature them and bring them to the meat of the Word. And then from that meat they grow strong. And they are equipped for battle. You know, I can look back a few years now. And I can remember seeing people who actually had got to my age when I was younger, and I saw that their fire was going out. I saw that they were losing a real desire for seeing God move. I don't know what's happened to me. There's been another burner set on, you know, and I think there's another fan blowing. And I'm like, come on, you know, I just give up your wet carpet out. Oh, sorry. You know, I'm just so, I'm not satisfied. And I mean that in a good way. I'm not satisfied with what I've seen yet. Because I know there is so much more. There's so much more. We're only just beginning to see it happen. And God's got much more for us. But we need to get to be disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to discipline ourselves. That's not easy. Bad enough when somebody else disciplines me, disciplining myself. Well, if I don't say anything, nobody will know, will they? God does. God sees everything. that you and I, wait for it, God sees everything that you and I even think. What have you just been thinking? Oh, I wish you'd hurry up and shut up. I need your bed. You need your bed. How old are you? 18? You wouldn't have got me in bed at 18 at this time of night, dear Lord Jesus. We were just getting started, weren't we? Glory to God. We burned candles at both ends. Amen. You know, I mean, if we were in bed before midnight, you know, we'd be in somebody's house praising God, reading the Word, and just having a great time. I tell you, when the Spirit of God gets on you, it's like being injected with something. You know, it's like, oh, what time is it? That's why, you know, we have a clock actually in here. We used to have it up there, but we've covered it now. And I think we've covered it over there now, actually, believe it or not. And we haven't got one there. We don't want to know. We don't want to know. Because if the Spirit is moving, you see, when I leave here tonight and go home, I'm wired. You know what I mean? I cannot go to bed. I'm still... Oh, you know, there's something going on. I'm not tired. I've gone to meetings historically, worn out, exhausted with the week and day. And then the presence of God comes in that meeting. And I leave and I'm like, oh, I've just got another day. I've got another day in me. You know, glory to God. And I'm fired up for it. God wants you to know His strength and His power. You see, there is a divine outflowing of presence and power of God that says it will quicken this mortal body. Is that right? That's what the Word says. That it will quicken this mortal body. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. It has a quickening power. Don't ask me how it works. It works better than food. It works better than alcohol. It works better than drugs, uppers and downers and whatever else you can think of. I can get high on Jesus. Oh, and I can remember everything about it. Glory to God. What a time. I've had some times with Jesus. And I want you to experience some great times with Jesus. With the power of the Spirit. Knowing that He's for you and He's not against you. But you've got to get into this Word. This Word is a quickening Word. This Word is a quickening power. This Word changes lives. Amen. And don't just attend church. Be the church. Yeah. Be the church. Let it live and breathe through you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank You right now. We thank You for Your divine presence that has been with us. We thank You, Lord, for Your divine protection. We thank You, Lord, for the power that is in the Word of God. And we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And we just pray right now as we are together. We just hear in Your presence. Hallelujah. Just hear in Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit. Right now. Just want to encourage one or two of you just to, you know, if the Lord's just challenged you a bit or you've just felt something from this Word today, just stand up and let the Holy Spirit seal it in you. Just sense the Holy Spirit actually. Just wanting to touch. If you want to touch right now, just stand. Just let the Lord begin to move. Let the Lord begin to move.